Mr. Josie Show is originally aired in front of a live internet audience and may not be rebroadcast or reproduced without express permission of the producers. Thank you.
I'm Josie Fascentino, and we have a very exciting show for all of you tonight. It's a great special edition featuring Laura Jill Miller, and I am really stoked to talk to her, so how about we just get her on right now? Let's not delay. So here she is, Laura Jill Miller. Hello. Hello, Laura. Hello?
Yep,
Laura
I'm here.
Jill Miller. Yeah, hey.
Oh, hey. Well, that was a little nerve-wracking for a second, wasn't it?
It was. I was like, uh-oh, now we can't get her on. Oh, my goodness. Well, I am so excited to talk with you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Anytime. I am very excited. We definitely watch you all the time in our house, and I'm sure a lot of people do as well. So I want to get started here. First off, I really want to know, because you really got involved in theater and Broadway alongside many incredible talents like Dick Van Dyke, like, hello, that's
yeah.
Amazing. So what was one of your fondest memories from that time?
Oh, well, from all the way back then, I mean, all of the shows that I did when I first started in show business, I was doing dinner theater work in my hometown in Pennsylvania. So all of that is my fondest memories, like all the cast parties in our basement and all of the shows and getting the costumes and learning the lines and just, I mean, theater was my family's life. I mean, I started in it and then everybody seemed to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I did the Broadway show, actually it was a tour first, and again, one of my fondest memories was just getting to travel across the country. It was exhilarating being a little kid and just, you know, getting to do that. And opening on Broadway, which is something that I had never, you know, thought about. And also meeting Dick Van Dyke for the first time, which was just the coolest thing because, you know, he was the guy from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And
yeah.
I went into New York and met him, and it was just, you know, I loved him.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So was it really nerve-wracking the first time, you know, stepping on stage, because, you know, you're right there in front of a whole audience. So
no, I mean, I loved it. I mean, I was one of those kids. I mean, I think just some kids have, I know this sounds weird, but some
mm-hmm.
kids have talent and some kids have talent in other things. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, my very first audition was, again, like I said, for this dinner theater in Pennsylvania. And I didn't even know what an audition was like. I looked it up I was looking at our hometown paper and I thought I saw a merry-go-round or something in the paper. And my dad was like, oh, no, that's a theater in the round. It's a dinner theater opening up and they're having auditions. And I said, what's an audition? And he, of course, has never forgiven himself for telling me what an audition was. And, you know, we went in and I sang a song because I could sing and I got a part. And I played Gretel in The Sound of Music. That was the first show I did. And then pretty much after that, I did every show imaginable there. So I was Baby Louise in Gypsy, and then I played Oliver in Oliver, and I was in Annie Get Your Gun, and Fiddler on the Roof, and The Music Man. I actually did it at the dinner theater before I auditioned for it in New York. And I can't remember if it was right after Music Man, but I think it was. It was one of those times where I was at a cast party and mm-hmm. someone was getting one of those New York magazines and said, hey, they're having auditions for a Broadway show. Why don't you go in and tell us what a real New York audition is like? And I went in, not for Music Man, but for something else. And I was one of, 800 kids. And they took us in groups of 10 to sing Happy Birthday. And they narrowed us down and narrowed us down and narrowed us down. And I got narrowed down to, I think, like the last 5 or 10 kids. And they picked the blondest kids, but they asked us for our phone numbers and if we didn't outgrow mm-hmm. the part, would we be willing to be in this show? And, of course, yes. But on our way home, I heard familiar music in the door next door, which mm-hmm. happened to be music from the Music Man. And I was like, hey, I just did this show. And I looked in, and a guy came out. And I said, what are you guys doing in here? And he said, we're auditioning for Music Man. And I said, oh, goody, can I audition for this one too? And he sort of closed the door and came back and then said, do you sing? And I said, mm-hmm. And he said, do you dance? And I said, mm-hmm. And he said, do you play the piano? And I said, oh, yeah. And he said, do you have a picture and resume? And I said, no, I already gave it, to the other people. And mm-hmm. he said, do you have an agent? And I said, no. And he said, do you have a manager? And I said, no. And he asked for my phone number. And I gave it to him. And then, of course, I told my mom. And then she kind of yelled at me because you're not supposed to give your phone number to strangers. But by the time we got home, there was a message on our answering machine to say, come back in tomorrow and meet blah, blah, blah. But we didn't hear the name because mm-hmm. it was on an answering machine because this is like, the olden days in the 80s. No, it was in 1979. So mm-hmm. It was on a cassette tape, and it just, got garbled. And that was the day, the next day I went in and I met Dick Van Dyke, and I kind of freaked out. So I was more nervous meeting Dick Van Dyke than, actually performing.
Right. I think I would have had the same reaction, so you're good there. Yeah. I would have been like, whoa. Yeah.
But being on Broadway was just, it was just sort of this thing that I just grew up doing, and I think everyone else was more impressed that I was on Broadway than I was, because it just seemed like just another show in a bigger house
with
people paying more money, but to me it was all the same. I was a kid doing what I loved, and you have to show up on time and know your part and have, cast parties afterwards.
Right, right. Starting young, you really learn, the business side of everything. Because people think, you just go up there on stage and just, do what you got to do. But, behind the scenes, there's so much business into it. You needed an agent and all that kind of stuff.
Right, so, right. Well, I was always taught it's show business. There's the show part and the business part. So,
exactly.
And also, it's just come in handy. Just learning all the things you need to know about memorizing and patience and being quiet and respectful mm-hmm. and, all that stuff. I just grew up doing it, so.
Yes. And then down, the road a little bit, of course we know you as Samantha Kaniski on Give Me a Break. My family, watches it, like crazy when they were younger. And then now my parents actually got the collection, disc, the DVD set.
Yeah, the DVD, yeah.
And I watch it all the time, and I just love it. You are, so, so funny, and everyone on that set just seems like they had a huge bond with each other.
Yes.
So cool.
I've actually watched some shows again recently, and I was like, mm-hmm. wow, we were ahead of our time. there were some episodes where I was like, really? We talked about that on the show?
Yes.
But, yeah.
Everything is very relatable.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. So what was it like being on that set with all of the incredible cast? Dolph Sweet and Nell Carter, and then, of course, your TV family, the TV sisters, I should say.
I loved it. I loved growing up on that set. It was like, doing theater. It was like a hobby that you got paid for. it wasn't hard for me as a kid.
Right.
And everyone always asked me, you didn't have a normal childhood. What was it like, you didn't go to school or you didn't go mm-hmm. to, proms or anything. And I said, well, what's normal? That was my normal. So my normal was going to school on the set, and my normal was memorizing lines, and my normal was counting hookers on the way to the set on Sunset Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
But my normal was also, I didn't go to a football game or a prom, but I got to go to the Emmys. So,
come on.
Yeah, it was just great. I loved every minute of it. I can't say every child star sort of grew up and loved mm-hmm. what they did, but I did.
Oh, well, that's all that matters, really, is that you just, you know, you had a great time on there. And I have to ask, do you still see some of your, you know, TV sisters now and then? Like, I know you guys have different lives and, you know, working on different projects, but every once in a while, do you guys run into each other?
Yeah, more now than then. Actually, I see Lori Henler. She played Julie. We live pretty close together, and we're quite good friends, yeah.
That is awesome. And and also, I wanted to also mention, because, you know, it was very obvious on screen that you had a close bond with Nell Carter. What was it like working with her? Because she's an incredible actress and singer.
We did have a really close bond. Oh, and speaking of singer, when I was doing Music Man, I saw her doing Ain't Misbehavin'. And I remember then when I first met her, I used to imitate her. I would put, like, balloons in my outfit and balloons down my bloomers and stuff and say, look, Nell, I'm playing you. But but on the show, like, what you saw is what you got. I mean, like I said before, I watched some old episodes, and, you know, when you would see her hugging me, or, I know this is weird, but, like, petting my hair and stuff, she would just be oozing love. Like, we loved each other. I hung out with her all the time. She's the one that brought me to the Emmys. She bought me my first, you know, big girl dress and shoes, and she liked it when I dressed up, and we always went out for dinner together, and I always hung out with her. I mean, people would say, oh, where do you go see celebrities when you come to Los Angeles? And I'm like, you go to Denny's across the street from our studio, and you can, you know, see me and Nell Carter eating fried chicken and throwing peas at people.
I love it.
And playing Miss Pac-Man. That's what we did all the time.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, my favorite game. It's amazing. I would have fit right in. That's awesome. That is very, very cool. And, you know, of course, now you are doing so many amazing things. You're just awesome as a voice actress. Is there any advice that you took away from being on the set of Give Me a Break that you still use to this day? Like, what did you learn?
Oh, well, I didn't learn anything exactly by people telling me. You sort of learn by osmosis, you know.
Right.
And again, a lot of the people on the set of Give Me a Break, they came from theaters, and I came from theaters. So a lot of that were things like be professional, be on time. You know, when you're in theater, you have to be there by half hour. If you're not, you know, they're going to put on your understudy. You can't be late. Be courteous, be, you know, nice. The one thing you always heard was the little people then are the big people now. So, you know, be nice to everybody. And also, and this is really important then and now, which is be really grateful for the work and don't take it for granted, because it's not always there.
That is true. I mean, I think that's really great advice for any, you know, young kids out there that want to be, you know, on Broadway or an actress or whatever they want to be. Those are things that you really need to learn, you know, because, like you said, jobs aren't always there. So
when you do have the job, when you do have the job, everyone gives you things and does things for you. And if you don't have the job anymore, all those things disappear. So, you know, when you're on a show and you're making money and people are taking your pictures, they also give you free Nike sneakers and free Van sneakers and free clothes and free makeup and free this and free that. And that's like the time that you actually don't need it. And then when the show's over, they don't give you that stuff anymore. So you have to always, you know, not take anything for granted.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to also talk about, you know, your ability to use your voice to create and bring characters to life, because people could hear you as the voice of little Clifford in Clifford's Puppy Days. I love that show. That's one show that I actually watch with my cousins all the time.
Aww.
And also Izzy in Spy Girls, and Henry in Henry Hug a Monster, and countless other animated TV shows and video games. Which did you find the most challenging to do?
Oh, challenging. Let's see. Well, I love everything you named. I loved all the shows. Well, there's different kinds of challenging. There's vocally stressful challenging.
Right.
That would have probably had to have been Henry Huggle Monster, because he was a monster and he was always roaring and yelling and screaming and stuff. And and then there's the challenging but good kind of challenging, which is also in, like, Henry Huggle Monster and Doc McStuffins, where we learn two or three new songs, or four, every week. And, you know, harmonies, and so learning the songs. And I know it's, you know, people say, oh, it's just voiceover. You know, you don't really have to learn it. But you have to learn it. Otherwise, you'll be in the booth and you'll be messing it up. There was other challenging, like, well, Clifford's Puppy Days. That was my first title role. So, I mean, I guess I wasn't really nervous per se, and even if I was, it quickly subsided. But there was that kind of challenging, like the first time that I had, you know, the weight of an entire show on me. Yeah. I loved playing Juniper Lee. That wasn't necessarily challenging. It was just also another title role. So that one, it's challenging, but in a good way. Like, you feel important, and it's like you're challenged, but yeah, it's great. And then, I'm not really answering challenging, am I? I'm just answering, all the shows that were fun. I mean, Wow Wow Wubsy, it was like becoming a family, and, you know, you go every week, and, okay, I'm totally not answering challenging. I'm answering fun now, which is the shows that we recorded as a cast
were much
more fun than the shows that you don't record as a cast. But I guess there's some challenges in that, too. There's challenges when you aren't recording together because you don't really know how the person before you said the line or stuff like that. And then there's challenging also in a good way that when there's a cast, you know, it's hard to schedule or, you know, I don't know. Nothing's challenging. I love my work.
That's good. That's good to hear. I mean, when someone brings up to you, you know, a character and you see that character for the first time, how do you know what, like, the voice should be? Like, do you just, you know, make up something, you know, play with your voice a little bit? How does that work?
Well, sometimes they give an actual description. You know, maybe they'll say that we want it really high or we want it raspy or she has a lisp or something. But most of the time it's really up to us. And then most of the time, you know, we do it, we keep our fingers crossed, and we hope that they think that what we did is what they wanted. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I don't think there was an exact description for Clifford the Puppy. In fact, I don't even know if I knew that I was auditioning for Clifford the Puppy. It was like, oh, look, here's an audition for a little puppy, you know, but you didn't really know what it was for. And I remember them telling me, you know, that when they heard my voice, that was the one they picked, you know, that,
wow.
I mean, obviously they picked me, but, you know, I don't know if sometimes they know what they want until they hear it. So
right.
You hope that you're sort of on the same page.
Exactly. It's like all a gamble. You really got to just see what they feel
yeah.
sound like.
Yeah.
Wow. And of course, you are Cuddly Lambie on
yeah.
Doc McStuffins now. What do you love most about being Lambie?
Well, I love everything. I love being on that show. It's just, I feel so honored, and I am so humbled to be a part of this show. I mean, I feel like 8 gazillion people probably auditioned for the part, and 8 gazillion people could have gotten it. And so I feel really, 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 really lucky that I got that part. And I'm just so lucky that it's such a lovable character and everybody loves her, and that the show itself is making just such a huge impact, like, everywhere.
It really is. It really
yeah.
is, because there's, like, toys and stuffed animals that people give away for, like, you know, holidays, like, on the top of the list of holiday items to buy.
Oh, yeah, I know. I love doing the toys, and, I mean, I buy the toys. I have them at my house. People come over, and they're like, do they give those to you? I go, no, I have to go out and buy them. But I love them, and I'm so proud. I'm so proud and honored and humbled. I don't know if you can be proud and humbled at the same time, but I am. And this show has, you know, Doc is such a strong role model, and this show has such recognition around the world. Have you heard of this movement called We Are Doc McStuffins?
No, actually, I haven't. Talk about that.
Okay, so a bunch of female African-American physicians got together, and they coined themselves as We Are Doc McStuffins.
Yeah.
And they're inspiring girls, you know, to grow up and be like them. And, I mean, it started with one or two or four or five, you know, women physicians of color, you know, like Doc, around the world. And now there's, I think, like over 5,000.
Oh,
and,
wow.
I mean, it's just Doc McStuffins is just, it's taken over the world, I feel like. And I just feel so amazingly grateful to be a part of the show.
That is incredible. I think that is so cool what good, you know, a TV show can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and not only does it do that, but also, you know, it really helps children not be frightened of the doctor, which
I know,
and I know that when I was, you know, growing up, I would have really loved that, like, because I was so, so chicken when it came to the doctor. I would have loved to, you know, be part of Doc McStuffins and, like, one of their little animal friends, one of the friends. I know I would have. So would you have liked to have had a show like this growing up?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, actually, I was a pretty healthy kid. Like, I didn't actually go to the doctor very much. But which is actually miraculous, seeing that I was 3 months premature and weighed, you know, about a pound and a half. But most of the time I didn't really go to the doctor. But even for anything, you know, the stethoscope, the otoscope, you know, a shot. I mean, I hear from doctors. I hear from pediatricians. Chris, the creator of the show, I mean, I think she gets thank yous like every day from doctors and pediatricians. Like, you have made my life easier. I mean, it's changed the world. I really think it has.
It definitely has, and which is, it's just so, so cool. And I have to ask, because I really want to know, because I know that you're doing so many different things. You really are just keeping busy doing everything that you can. And I'm wondering, is there any, you know, current projects that you would like to share with us that, you know, we can look forward to? Anything new that you could tell us about?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I had to actually get permission for this. So, okay, so for the one thing that I can't talk about,
but
the one thing I can say is I'm working on a new show for Nickelodeon. I'm allowed to say the name of it. It's called The Loud House, and that's all I can say.
Woo-woo! I love it.
So that's it. So, you know, look for it. I have no idea when it's going to start, anything, but I can't say the part that I play or anything, but it's right. Nickelodeon, The Loud House. You know,
perfect.
Look for it. It's going to be great. Okay.
Look for it. Definitely look for it. We don't want to get you in trouble, so we're really, really excited to check it out. So please keep looking at Nickelodeon so you can see what's up.
It may or may not even be in 2015, but okay. So then the other stuff I'm allowed to say, and I did get permission from Disney. Let's see. There is going to be a Halloween special for Huggle Monsters. I don't know the date of that, but there is. Also, there's going to be a Halloween episode for Doc McStuffins. That's going to premiere on October 9th. There's going to be new pet vet episodes for Doc McStuffins. That's all the ones about caring for your pets. Those are all going to be coming up in November. The big news is that I totally got permission to talk about is that on October 5th, Mrs. Obama will be on Doc McStuffins when Doc is visiting the White House. Yep.
That is so cool.
We totally recorded that like a year or so ago, and we had to keep it a secret. But so the episode is airing on Child Health Day, and the First Lady invites Doc and other kids who are making a difference in their community to the White House, and it's totally not political, so, you know, whichever side anybody's on, it just has to do with Doc and the White House. But Mrs. Obama's on our episode, and it's premiering on October 5th. And so let's see, what else am I working on? So Loud House, and then, right now I'm in the fourth season of Doc McStuffins that we're recording right now.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even aired all the third season ones yet, so there's that. And there's tons of cool, new, and interesting people coming up on episodes of Doc, but the only one I was allowed to say was Mrs. Obama.
Oh, that is so exciting. So definitely more Laura coming at you. I love it. Awesome, awesome. Well, we're really excited about that. And Michelle Obama, that is so, so cool that she, you know, is a part of it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Can't wait to check it out, everybody. Woo! So exciting. And also, I want to make sure so people can see, you know, your current projects, because I know you're very active on, you know, your social media. So can you please give out your websites and social networking sites so people can chat with you?
Oh, well, let's redefine very active. I'm not like the people who, you know, are really active. Like,
right.
I'm not really into selfies, and I'm not really into being, you know, witty and pushing the line and, you know, everything. But I do peruse it a lot, and I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very active in that I keep up with what's happening with me in show business. So whenever I have anything to announce, I will totally do that. So look for me on Facebook and Twitter. They're both under my name, Laura Jill Miller. And that's Laura without a U, just in case anybody doesn't know that by now. but on Twitter, it's just my name, Laura Jill Miller. And, I mean, I'm active in that when I see people talking about me and they're nice and they have nice things to say, I will totally write them back. I wrote you back, you know, right away. I do that all the time. What I don't do is I don't, like, take selfies that much.
Right, right.
Because I don't take stuff, you know, I don't really bring my personal life into that stuff. But I will totally talk about shows and what I'm up to. But every once in a while, you know, I'll post a cast picture of, you know, people. And so if you go to my Twitter and that Facebook page, you can scroll back and you'll see plenty of pictures of me.
Awesome, awesome. Check it out, everybody. I love you're an active peruser.
Yeah.
That is so cool. There you go. Oh, perfect, perfect. I hope everyone goes and checks you out on there. And I see on Twitter something really cool that you do. You know, I love how you mentioned that when you see something, you will, you know, say something. When someone mentions, you know, a show that you're on, it's so cool how you, like, sign it. You say, like, a nice message and then sign it, like, XOXO, and then the character you play.
Yes, see, I do that. I'm a very good peruser. So
you
I mean, I just figured this out. You know, you type in the hashtag and you can be like, oh,
yeah.
Look, let's see who's talking about Clifford's Puppy Days. Let's see who's talking about Juniper Lee. And I find people and I freak them out, which I love to do.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you know, you get someone goes, who is this? Why are you writing to me? But most of the time you get, OMG, LOL, the lady who plays so-and-so just wrote to me. Oh, my, you know, goodness. And, you know, and then, yeah, I love those people. I love those people. And then even when people are just like saying, you know, my favorite show is X, and then I'll write to them and go, hey, you know, hi. And I just, I love that. I think it's really cool. So, but yeah, again, I mean, you know, hey, everybody, join in, you know. Come to my Facebook page. Come to Twitter. Follow me.
Go.
Maybe if there's more people, I'll write more stuff. I mean, I just posted a picture of me the other night. I was at a function with, you know, everybody from my voiceover agency and stuff, and I posted a picture. You know, I'm out there. So if you're curious,
you are. So go and check it out. For sure. And also, you receive so many adorable photos from, like, parents of their children with, you know, the toys, the dolls and stuffed animals from Lambie. How does that make you feel, seeing, like, such a huge impact with all of the kitties? With, like, there's cute ones with, like, them sleeping with Lambie in their hands. It's adorable.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said before, I'm just I'm so honored and I'm so humbled by playing this part. You know, I get letters from parents and pictures of their kids, like sick kids, and you know, they say the only thing that brings a smile to their face is, you know, their doll Lammy and, you know, holding their blanket or something. And I just, it just warms my heart. It really does. I also get asked all the time to do, you know, messages from Lammy and stuff. And I have to sort of narrow it down to, I know this sounds, well, you know, to really like sick kids or needy kids and kids in the hospital or about to have surgery or something. I'm not going to just, you know, do it for a birthday party or something. But it's just, you know, like the show, again, it's really, it's huge. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not Doc, but I'm Lammy.
Yes, you are. And it's really cool, though, because you get to sing as Lambie. And it's I love it because, you know, of course you have to sing as Lambie. You have to stay still in character. But you sound great.
Thank you. I'm so honored singing these songs. I mean, just the other day I was in the recording booth, and I get such great harmony. The people who write the show, the composers, Michelle Lewis and Kay Hanley, they're great. They're amazing. And we have such tight harmonies in some of the songs. And I always get the high harmonies and the hardest harmonies, I think. And I love learning them. Everything's so challenging. I mean, sometimes when I open my email for the first time, I go, oh gosh, can I learn this? But I get out my staff paper and I write down all my notes. And in fact, just the other day, I forgot my paper, my sheet, when I went to the recording studio.
Oh.
I'm like, we're four seasons in, however many episodes. It was the first time I ever forgot my music. And they were like, can't you just do it by heart? I was like, no, I need my music. I sight read. But I love singing these songs. I feel so honored. And the other day I was like, I wish I could learn two or three or four new songs every week for the rest of my life. And they all were like, hey, be careful what you wish for. And I was like, no, I hope I do.
Yes. Well, we hope you do too. Come on. It sounds incredible. And
yeah.
We are running out of time, but you have done so many things, including Broadway, television, voice acting, and many other things. Is there something that you haven't tried yet that you would love to try your hand at? Maybe directing or producing one day. You never know.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think that would be in my list of things. Although, if you ask people and know how bossy I am, they would probably say I'd be a good... Well, no. Well, I love singing. I mean, I had always thought I would do a record. Oh, and by the way, I've heard you're singing. You're great.
Oh, wow, thank you.
I mean, you know, I have CDs out now as Lammy, but not as me. I want to be a character in a feature film. So whoever's out there listening, like, that's what I want to do.
Yes, you should do it. Come on, give her a call.
Yeah, but also just more work. Like, you know, I just love what I do, and mm-hmm. I don't take it for granted, and not everybody can say that they love what they do. So if I can just continue doing this, I don't need something new. I just need more. That's all.
Absolutely.
Does that sound selfish?
Keep doing your thing. No,
yeah.
I think what you do is just fantastic, and I love that you love it. You know, you're really dedicated to your craft and doing what you love to do, and more people need to do that. So, and I really am so excited that I got the chance to talk with you tonight. So thank you so much for coming on the show and chatting with me, and we would love to have you back on, okay?
Anytime. Okay. Okay.
Right.
Thanks.
So, good. Thank you. Laura Jill Miller, everybody.
See you on the internet.
Oh, yes. Yes, on the internet.
On the interwebs.
Interweb. Okay. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Woo. I had so much fun chatting with Laura Jill Miller. Thank you all so much for tuning in tonight to the Josie Show special edition. And we will see you guys on our normal shows on Friday. So Friday at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm getting better at those time zones. I am so proud of myself. So please stay tuned and just check out josieshow.com for more info on all of the great shows that we have coming up. So stay tuned. So good night, everybody. Mwah!